say, hey, it is Monday. Time is 5:31 right here on 90.1 KZFR. This is Say Hey, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake. I'm flying solo right now. Noobs may be along in a bit, but for now it's me. And that's okay, because there's a lot to talk about. I want to say thanks to Jarreau and Derek for sitting in last week. Doing a great job, as always. Thank you, boys. So where to start? There is a ton to talk about. And there's so much college football. There's obviously Golden State and the Eastern Conference actually looking like an actual, you know, professional basketball conference as opposed to just being dominated by the West all the time. But I want to start with baseball because the winter meetings got going in Nashville today, and it's very exciting. And there he is. There's Noobs himself. He's rolling in. He looks good. He looks sharp.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, let's see. You're going to be there on mic three. Noobs, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Apparently my clock is running slow. I apologize.
It's okay. My clock's always running slow. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
I was going to start it off today with some baseball, Noobs, because it's been an exciting start to the official offseason.
Yeah, that Greinke signing was pretty big.
Yeah, let's start with Greinke. It was widely considered that it was just a two-team race for Greinke, Giants-Dodgers, and fair enough assessment. NL West guy for the last few years. Both teams wanted him. And then out of nowhere comes the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And I'll say this about the Diamondbacks. One, anytime you give any pitcher, whether it's David Price or Greinke, like one of these six-year deals past 30, you know, you're basically eating a lot of money on the back end because it pretty much doesn't work out. Maybe it'll work out with Greinke because he's kind of a control guy.
Right.
He could maybe have a little Maddox downside when he's 36. But
even the best of the best of them never have like seven consecutive good years.
In their 30s.
Yeah,
no,
everybody has a down year, even some of the younger guys. I mean, they overall for their career. But take like a John Lackey. I mean, the guy's still pitching.
Yeah.
That's another signing I think was just big for the Cubs.
Yep.
But like, you know, the guy's, you know, had a great career. But, you know, not every year has been like he had last year with the Cardinals.
No. And I mean, so I think baseball people, when they want to spend a bunch of money, for whatever reason, they just kind of accept the fact that this isn't going to look good towards the end, but we want it right now, and so we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though teams are like, well, I'm not giving any more Pujols contracts in 10 years, and they keep doing it, so apparently they're not going to stop. That being said, the Diamondbacks won 79 games last year with basically the worst pitching staff and starting staff in the National League. They have a stacked young offense. They
Absolutely.
Still won 79 games. So while they're not legions better as a whole, as a staff, just Greinke alone, having a legit ace, let's say he wins them 10 extra games next year.
That's a playoff team now.
That's basically a playoff contender
yeah.
for the second wild card and what's going to be a really tough NL West.
For sure.
That's a great move for the Diamondbacks.
No, it's huge. They scored the second most runs in the National League last
mm-hmm.
year. You just touched on that offense. They've got Goldschmidt, who I think is, you know, an MVP type player. Doesn't get a lot of you know, coverage because maybe he plays out west or whatever. But you know, if you got Pollock, who had a great year,
yep.
You've got David Peralta if he can stay healthy. Inciarte is a good outfielder.
They've got
Tomas.
They've got guys in the minors too. They've
yeah.
got talent coming up. I mean, it's a good offensive organization right now, and. Greinke is going to put them into playoff contention. That's my thought.
Absolutely, and I wonder if maybe they're not even done, you know?
Right.
Like, if they're able to go out and get another guy. Because even some of the younger like guys on the pitching staff, there were some bright spots there last year. There was nobody that really kind of, like, jumped out at you. But like you said, I mean, you know, they almost were a 500 ball club.
Mm-hmm.
And this definitely puts them in the mix for a playoff team. And,
definitely.
You know, you just never know when you catch fire in October what could happen.
Yeah, and so the immediate fallout, if you will, was much harder on the Dodgers than it is on the Giants because
the Giants didn't lose anything
and the Dodgers flat out relied on the 1-2 Kershaw Greinke punch,
no doubt,
to do what they've been able to do in terms of winning the West. So then the Giants in turn go out and they sign Samardzija for half of what Greinke and Price got, basically, for 5 years. He's 30. He had a bad year in Chicago last year in with the White Sox. He had a bad year on a bad team in a hitter's park, and the worst defensive team in baseball. He gave up a bunch of home runs. But here's the thing about Samardzija is his average fastball is still 95 miles an hour. He was throwing more cutters last year. They were kind of jerking him around a little bit mechanically. He's got upside. So even though he comes across after his worst season, I really think you get with Dave Rigetti in a pitcher's ballpark back in the National League.
No doubt.
I think Samardzija has a really good chance to be a solid number two for the Giants. I'm personally stoked about it. They still need another starter. They still need a left fielder. But all these things are happening now at the winter meetings. So
wait, so you're saying he's the number two, so who's Kane's the number three now?
If that. I mean, I have no faith in Matt Cain.
Really?
No, I mean, I have faith in him as a competitor. But with his injuries and the way that his career as a fly ball pitcher, he's always been a fly ball pitcher.
Yeah.
And as he's lost some stuff, those fly balls have turned into home runs. And I'm not saying he's going to be as bad as he's been in his limited playing time the last couple of seasons coming back from injury. But I don't think it's realistic to expect him to be the all-star caliber pitcher that he was as a younger player before he got hurt.
Okay, so then
having the ball fly out.
Real quick then, let's take a real quick look at, so we're talking about Bumgarner,
mm-hmm.
Samardzija.
PV,
oh, he's going to be back?
PV's back, yeah.
What about Leak?
Leak is, he's a free agent. Cardinals are in on him. There's a lot of teams knocking on his door.
And Kane will be back.
Kane
he's
will
under
be back.
Contract.
Yeah, so they need a fifth starter, whether it's a three or whatever. Heston's going to be their long man because Petit's gone.
Right.
You know, they're wheeling and dealing. I'm confident they'll get it done. Now, the Dodgers went out. They got Iwakuma from the Mariners. Free agent signing. He's good.
Traded for Chapman today.
That has not gone through yet.
It's
been interesting.
Okay.
That is still pending because there are believed to be more teams involved, and the Reds don't want to confirm it. So maybe he's still going to L.A.,
okay.
But maybe the media jumped on it too quickly.
Because as they tend to do. Because, I mean, one of their big Achilles heel was their bullpen last year.
Yeah, especially getting to Jansen. But they did get Iwakuma, who's a very good player, Japanese player. He is 35, though, but he's a control guy. So not a bad move there. He's not Zach Greinke.
He was a Mariner last year.
If they wind up getting Chapman, it's an interesting development only because that means you probably demote Jansen, which means that somebody has to check their ego.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he wouldn't.
Didn't work out for the Nationals last year.
Didn't work out for the Nats last year. And Dave Roberts, their new manager, is a known people person. He's not the bumbler that Mattingly is / was. So maybe if they do get Chapman, Roberts works his people magic and people check their egos. But that will be a interesting thing if that goes through. Of course, that would be a good problem to have, theoretically, because then you have the best 8-9 in the game if that happens.
We could be looking at a situation like we had this year where the NL Central got three teams in the playoffs for the West.
Yeah. No, I really think that the West is going to be very solid.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dodgers still have a little more picking up the pieces to do because I don't think you can underscore, if you follow the NL West and you really watch these teams week in and week out, that the Greinke-Kershaw thing, that was what got them where they've been the last couple of years.
Because
they've been very inconsistent in other parts of their team game, whether it's bullpen issues or Ryu being out and not having a third or fourth or fifth starter be consistent. Or
even just overall chemistry.
Offense flexing, the chemistry. Puig, I think Puig still gets traded
because
they could get some stuff for him.
Right.
But Greinke was a really big part of their success in the last couple of seasons. So we'll kind of see how that shakes out.
I hope they fall off the face of the earth.
You do?
Yeah, I don't like the Dodgers.
That's funny. Sometimes I feel like an island in here.
No. I mean, I don't know if you share as much Yankee hate as I have.
At different points, I have.
And I'm not as big a Dodger hater as you are, but I got no love for L.A.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that guys like me and you, we can look at things objectively, even through our hatred.
Yeah. When I'm playing fantasy.
We can sit here and
even then, it's shaky.
And be realistic about the fact that the Dodgers are still going to be good, no matter what happens. They're not going to suck.
No, but they could be in third.
They could be in third. It's very possible.
You know?
It's just like, I think they're kind of in a little funny spot like the Nationals right now, where they obviously still have a lot of talent and a lot of pieces, but they have some curious gaps. And you're like,
sure,
how are they going to fill them in? Two teams with tons of talent, with a little bit of chemistry issues, with new managers that are both players' managers.
And what is LA going to have to give up to if they want to go out and get a Chapman? There was talk of Seager going in that deal.
I would hope they wouldn't send Seager. I think that guy's a bona fide stud.
For sure.
Like a potential perennial all-star.
Yeah, and you need someone because that infield is old.
Yeah, I was also talking to Preston today. They signed Chase Utley to a one-year deal, and Preston Powers, Blues Bayou, he's a huge Dodger fan. He's a good baseball guy. He can talk about the Giants and how much he hates them. And I'll talk about the Dodgers, how much I hate them.
Right.
but will still like talk baseball. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's one of those guys. And
can do it in a gentlemanly way.
Yes, exactly.
That's always a good thing. There's no need to get heated out there.
He likes bringing Utley back on a one-year deal, even though clearly Utley is at the end of his rope just for clubhouse stuff. But I think Kike Hernandez is a potential stud, too, as a young ball player.
Yeah.
Preston Sandy reminds him of Eric Burns. He reminds me a little of Tulowitzki in the way he's got a long swing. But
Jock Peterson, did we talk about him?
He faded.
But
the reality is, if you're going to strike out on pace for 200 plus times a season, you're going to have issues.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. I don't care if it's the age of, you know, sabermetrics and strikouts aren't a big, they are a big deal.
No, they're a big deal.
You can't strike out 200 plus times.
But I mean, the guy can't even buy a beer yet. So let's.
No. Yeah, there's time.
You know.
But yeah, the Dodgers are a bit of a question mark, so we'll see. Now to touch on the Sox. You guys signed David Price for a lot of money.
And I texted you right away. We talked about these big contracts. I don't feel great about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm stoked, but I mean, he hasn't shown that he can do it in the postseason.
Right.
You know, and also it's like, I mean, yeah, we needed a legitimate number one starter, but you know, I feel like 7 years is just too much. It's too much for a pitcher. You just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, 7 years is a crazy amount for a dude in his 30s.
Average $31 million a year.
Yeah.
That's what it comes out to. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
It's not all that money is going to be well spent.
And Boston can spend money, but, you know, as you pointed out to me, that's, you know, like when they dumped Carl Crawford's contract and Adrian Gonzalez and all those guys, Josh Beckett, you know, they turned around and won World Series next year.
Exactly.
So sometimes it's not about being the big spender on the block. I mean, ask the Dodgers, ask the Yankees.
Ask the Royals, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ask the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to, you know, build strategically instead of just spending. But that being said, David Price is a good player.
I love how we're talking baseball on December 7th.
And he's going to
great.
He's going to make your team better next year. It's just, what's it going to look like 4 or 5 years from now?
Well, see, that's the thing, too. And, you know, the one thing I do like about it is they're trying to win now. I want to see them put a really good team on the field for Poppy's last year.
They got rid of, I sent Wade Miley to the Mariners today for a little extra bullpen help, which I think is fine because I'm not real high on Wade Miley. So, you know, the bullpen gets a little stronger. I mean, they're definitely going to be better next year. There's no two ways
about
it.
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They've got one of the best young outfields in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm actually looking forward a lot to it. I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the AL East is up for grabs, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that anybody – the Yankees had a weird season last year. They overachieved. I mean, I don't know. They're older. We didn't even think they'd do that well.
No.
And somehow they did, but they weren't dangerous. You know, they were like really like – if there was one team in either side of baseball, the Major League playoffs last year, that you're like, this team is not winning at all.
It was the Yankees. Which is like the opposite of what you would say over the course of history.
Right.
Usually they're the front runners.
Right. And so it was just like, forget it, lights out. But yeah, the AL East is going to be up for grabs next year. Now, we've spent a solid 15 minutes here starting with baseball. We have all sorts of other stuff. It's college football time. It's time to dance, so to speak.
I believe I was 3 out of 4 on my playoff predictions.
I believe you were. Was the one that you missed?
I should have said just Oklahoma instead of Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma, yeah.
So I had it, though. The winner of that game was going to be in.
All right, get the ball rolling, John. Start it.
Well, I don't know if, you know, I don't know how many of those games you watched. First of all, I want to say that it's, I think, a shame that they had the SEC championship was in the afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern time. But then all the other ones, the Big Ten, the ACC and the Pac-12 were pretty much simultaneous. Pac-10 got a little bit of a head start on those 5 o'clock starts. But to me, I just think that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a whole entire Saturday, probably about, you know, a good 10 hours of which you can pack football in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've been doing this whole year. That's what they do all the time. Spread it out a little bit better. I mean, even if you have to stagger and have a little bit of an overlap,
mm-hmm.
at least let me be able to see an entire second half of all these games without having to flip back and forth. Because honestly, you know, I was going in between the Clemson game and the Big Ten Championship, which was an all-time classic, by the way. Great defensive matchup. Unbelievable drive by the Spartans at the end. 22-play drive.
Mm-hmm.
I think 21 of them were runs.
Was it like a 9-minute drive or something?
It was over 8. So, almost 9. And, I mean, it was just, they were knocking on the door. A lot of strategy that came into play because, you know, the quarterback who had been dealing with a little bit of injury, you could kind of tell he didn't have everything on the ball that he needed to, so they really relied on the freshman running back. And Kirk Ferentz, the coach of Iowa, wound up calling his timeouts right before they got that last first down, so the clock continued to run, and Michigan State pretty much had to control the clock. Where if because they basically were able to get a first down without getting the touchdown there on the four, so that gave Michigan State a fresh set of four downs, and so it really kind of played against the Hawkeyes. They just didn't have any time to mount, you know, basically what would have, you know, they could have got a tying field goal, but no time left. All time classic game. You know, I've been kind of a Spartan supporter all year as far as, like, who I thought could be kind of somewhat of a surprise. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of a surprise they were because they won the Big Ten Championship a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. beating Ohio State to do so. Connor Cook, senior, will probably be in the NFL draft in April or May, whenever the heck it is. And, you know, it's coming down to four really solid teams. I have to admit, though, just real sidebar, you and I talk about this sometimes on our own, about the whole God thing, and Mark D'Antonio said, I really believe that God is with us.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to admit, man, my Spartan meter went from 11 to, like, -1.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against religious people.
No,
it's
just a silly thing to say.
It's just a silly thing to say because it's like, you know, I can go out there and, you know, look at nature and, you know, debate in my own head whether or not this is all some kind of cosmic pinball or if there really is some divine creator out there. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, if there is one, he's not rooting on
a football team.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, give me a break.
And so I got to say, and now that they're playing Alabama, I'm all in. I mean, great. Right. I was going to be in for Alabama no matter who they play, but now I just want to run all over them.
Right.
So that being said, Oklahoma wound up getting the fourth spot. They didn't play a conference championship game. They've only got 10 teams in that conference. We've touched on that before. Stanford, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, what a performance.
Yeah.
The guy ran for a touchdown, caught one, and threw for one.
Yep.
Broke the all-time record held by Barry Sanders, of all people.
I know.
You know? And Derrick Henry broke, Herschel Walker's SEC rushing record.
Right.
And real quick sidebar, I know sometimes I throw my own opinion on the way things should be a little too much in this show. But one thing I would have to say is you can't count a conference championship game when you're talking about records.
No, I don't think you should either. Just like you don't.
It's a postseason game.
It's a postseason game.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so he had McCaffrey had two extra games. Sanders only played 11 games that year with Oklahoma State because they only played 11 in the 80s.
Right.
And so, you know, I feel like it kind of skews these records a little bit.
It does.
And
it's
so,
like overtime statistics.
You know,
when you the 20-yard lines would rack up and you'd have scores that were like 40 points higher than the regulation.
Absolutely.
Same sort of thing.
Which kills over-unders, by the way, if there's any bettors out there. So it's one thing to watch out for. But we should have a real interesting, you know, Heisman.
Yeah, he got put up as a finalist today.
McCaffrey did, Henry did, and the quarterback of Clemson did.
Yeah.
And I think all very worthy. I'm glad that it's not some 5 or 6 guy field because you could have thrown Elliott in there. You could have thrown Baker Mayfield, quarterback of Oklahoma, in there. But I think these are clearly the top 3 guys. I'm rooting for McCaffrey because when I think of college football and like who is the best player, this kid was doing it. Punt returns, kick returns, running the ball, catching the ball. He had two passing touchdowns on the year.
Yeah,
he was just an all-around
true slash all the way.
You know, and you got to love that. And he really did everything. I mean, Derrick Henry is an absolute workhorse in the backfield. I mean, the guy rushed 90 times in the last 2 weeks to make sure that they're at where they're at. But, you know, when you talk about all-around college football player, and, you know, I have to think, like, just from a prediction standpoint, and I know this isn't supposed to have anything to do with it, but considering that the other two candidates are going to be playing in the playoff, I wonder if this won't be kind of a little, it might sway the voters a little bit, a little consolation prize for Stanford.
You never know. Or there's also the school of thought that does it hurt him that he plays at Stanford, which is a West Coast team?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I think in that regard, like, almost seems like Clemson to me, just because they're number one. And
right, and that's usually the number one player on the number one team.
Yep.
But the one thing I would say is of all the performances, Saturday night, which was, I think, a lot of maybe casual voters, you know, I don't know how many of the voters are actually casual. It's some, I think it's a mix of the press and former winners. But, I mean, McCaffrey definitely helped his cause. I mean, it took Henry 44 carries to get to 189 yards,
right,
where McCaffrey was just all over the place, really helped himself out. And if anybody watched the Stanford game all year, it was Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a fun game to watch. And, you know, a side note, this has nothing to do with the Heisman right now, but what's the name of the running back at Florida State?
Dalvin Cook.
Dude, I was watching that guy recently, and he blew me away. Like, I just have one of those moments where you watch a college player and you're like,
He's playing
this
on
guy,
Sunday.
This guy could be great.
Oh, yeah.
He could go to the next level and be like achieve greatness.
Totally.
I don't know. Sometimes it's fun just to have that moment where you watch somebody as a young player and you're like,
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy's special.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so what's your prediction for the way the playoffs going to shake out?
Well, not to be too much of a homer, but obviously I feel like Alabama's defense is maybe one of the best ones that they've ever had under Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive coordinator, ironically, who's been there the last 8 years, is now going to be the new head football coach at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found out yet if he's actually going to accompany Alabama. I would think he would be there for those two games, but you never know. Sometimes these things work out where it's like, you know, he's officially hired and he can't coach. So that's going to be interesting. If he's not there, then that kind of changes the whole dynamic. I think that's going to be a great defensive game between Michigan State because both of those teams are just phenomenal on defense. Both of them run the ball really well. I think Clemson and Oklahoma has potential to be a really high-scoring shootout.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of points, a lot of fun. I like the fact that these kind of have, with the one being the Orange Bowl and the one being the Cotton Bowl this year, it's kind of we've kind of gotten some classic conference matchups between the Big 12 and the ACC, you know, and Big Ten, SEC. Granted, usually the Big Ten champ would go to the Rose Bowl, but as far as being in the Cotton Bowl, that kind of fits Alabama. They're, you know, usually cotton or sugar. But anyway, I digress. Real quick prediction. I think Alabama's got the tools to get it done. The quarterback, Coker, has been lamented all year as he doesn't have a good enough arm. He can't get it done. And that they're too one-dimensional on offense. But I just feel like since that Ole Miss loss, which they probably shouldn't have even lost that game, they turned the ball over five times. I feel like they've been on a mission. I think Clemson, although they've had some really good wins, you know, they maybe not even should have beaten North Carolina the other night. There was a really horrific offsides phantom call on the onside kick when North Carolina was mounting this heroic comeback. Well, I don't want to use a heroic, that's a little ridiculous, but a really phenomenal comeback, and they got cut short, and there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there saying, well, this is the ACC doing their thing, and we touched on it, you know, weeks ago with the whole, you know, Miami game.
Yeah.
You know, because the ACC, there was a fear that if North Carolina won that game, that the ACC wouldn't have a representative, because North Carolina, even though they would have been 12-1, there was a lot of people complaining that they played two FBS teams, right, like kind of like the next division. So North Carolina A&T, and I can't remember the other one. So they were saying that based on strength of schedule, that maybe even Stanford or Ohio State would have gotten in there.
Because mm-hmm.
Stanford, out of conference, played Northwestern and Notre Dame.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, I would have had a hard time having a two-loss team in there, but maybe even Ohio State gets in there. We have two Big Ten teams. But anyway, you asked me a simple question. I'm not giving you a simple answer.
I don't even remember what I asked.
But, exactly. So I'm going to go for the upset. McCaffrey wins the Heisman, and Alabama and Clemson play in the national championship. And I'm going to say Alabama wins a very close game.
That sounds fair enough. Alabama's been, I don't want to say slept on this year, but compared to some of their
other Alabama teams,
they haven't, you know, been a part of the hype much. So, but they're really good.
Everybody wrote them off after Ole Miss.
Right.
And it's like, come on, dude, it's a conference game.
Right.
The Rebels are good. They lost to them last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, and I think they've held teams to like 11 points a game since then.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Florida was not a very impressive opponent.
Right.
But that's no fault of Alabama's. I mean, the SEC East was just weak.
And they were up big. They were up like, what, 29-7 or 29-5 or something like that. And then they tacked on a touchdown late. Like, it was a one-sided game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. And then we'll wrap it up. We got 5 minutes left here on Say Hey.
What about you? Who you got?
I just feel like I just said, because no one has really paid attention to Alabama, that somehow they're going to troll the world again and just win another title.
It's kind of hard to think of Alabama feeling disrespected.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's disrespected so much as in any sport, once a team wins enough, people almost want to like pay attention to someone else. That's just kind of like how it goes.
Kind of like the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, or you know, pick any just we're always there team.
Yeah.
And or the Spurs or whatever, you know, like – there's no reason Alabama can't win.
Right.
I just feel like it's going to be one of those years.
The one caveat, though, and I need to check up on this, is that if Kirby Smart is not coaching mm-hmm. the defense, then that throws that whole prediction out the window.
Oh, yeah, that's true, huh?
Oh,
yeah,
that's huge.
That would be weird.
And honestly, going forward, I'm really interested to see how the SEC is going to shake out. Is Alabama going to be as good? Because it's kind of like, I hate to say this, but Bill Belichick with Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Parcells' greatest successes were with Bill Belichick as his defensive coordinator.
Right. Yeah, no, that stuff's important. Yeah, it's probably a little underrated, to say the least.
Absolutely.
And then we touched on it in the text message the other day. The Eastern Conference and the NBA
is
playing like a real conference. There's like a bunch of teams over 500.
Yeah, I think more than the West right now, yeah, or at least many.
The eight seed right now is over 500.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time that was the case, you know, a quarter or a third of the way through the season.
Yeah.
And we were saying how LeBron James alone will not be able to will his team to the conference finals this year. Despite everything we thought in the offseason, it's not going to be one of those years. Like, yeah, he's going to have to get a full team effort once Kyrie gets healthy, because there's actually, like, teams playing well. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And I can't remember the last time that was the case. It was pretty much if LeBron – and granted, LeBron is getting older. That doesn't mean he's not still great, because clearly he is.
No, he's great.
But, you know, he's probably not as dominant a player – single-handedly as maybe he was, say, 5 years ago.
Right.
And so
he might be smarter.
He might be smarter.
But physically, no.
Physically,
he can't
not
just
quite
exert
as
his
much
will like, yeah, he used to.
Yeah.
And one thing real quick about Kyrie Irving is that when you say when he gets healthy, if
he gets healthy.
I mean, he might be one of those snake-bitten kids.
That's
dude,
what
that
we
just...
Yeah, we talked about that, too. Like, when you suffer as many really brutal injuries, if you will, as he has as a young player,
yeah,
it's hard to get healthier as you get older.
Yeah,
you know, like see, like Derek we Rose say, for every Grant Hill, there's a million Derek Roses and, right, and Greg, you know,
Greg Odens.
It's just
now
like,
playing in China,
right? You know, it's hard to stay healthy once you get beat up as a young person.
I'd like to see it happen. I'd like to see LeBron have a full cast and crew,
right,
as it were.
Yeah,
because Love seems to be fitting in better. Kevin Love
in
that offense.
Aside from the fact that I do get a little quote unquote bored with LeBron James, I do. It is nice to just see the possibility that some other team in the East that doesn't have LeBron James on that squad might be able to compete. Maybe.
You know what blew my mind is when they were talking about Kobe retiring.
Uh-huh.
Is that Kobe and LeBron have been like the last nine finals?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
but never played each other.
Right.
And that, cause
isn't that weird?
I almost forgot about the Lakers' resurgence there in 07, 08, and 09.
Uh-huh. Meta world peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Who knows? I mean, the Bulls are good. The Pacers are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some depth. The Pacers are having a nice comeback year.
I want to see one of two
Raptors
things.
Raptors are good.
Raptors are good. Even my Celtics are decent. Mm-hmm. They don't have a star.
Yep. The Hornets are pretty good.
Hornets are decent. Miami has got a good record.
Miami's got a good record.
So I think the Eastern playoffs is actually going to be really entertaining,
mm-hmm,
not just the final. The finals were a joke last year with Atlanta getting swept. But
right.
I mean,
you know,
like even the
playing pretty well.
Even the first round, we're going to have some interesting. You know, the 3-6, the 4-5 is going to be really interesting.
Right.
And the winner of the 4-5 isn't just necessarily going to be fodder for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's if Cleveland even has the best record. That's
right,
not even
now,
a guarantee.
Don't. Yeah.
You know, and but real quick, I want to see, just for the Warriors' sake, not that they need this to legitimize anything with what they're doing right now, but how cool would it be to see a rematch with the Cavs at full strength? No excuses.
Oh, on Christmas Day, or you mean
in the finals?
In the finals. Oh yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. I would like to see them take the unbeaten streak to Christmas Day, just to have that, you know. Can you imagine the ratings if they're like 27-0 on Christmas Day, 28-0, and they're playing the Cavs?
It's going to be huge anyway.
That would be cool.
That's if they can get through this road trip.
Real quick, at the end, from the beginning of last season through the playoffs till now, the Warriors are 105-20.
That's insane.
Insane.
That's insane.
That's totally unbelievable.
Yeah.
If I was joking with Ray today, if I were to live to be 100 years old, I might never get a chance to root for a team of my own that's this dominant in a sport.
Right.
It's pretty neat.
I'm enjoying it while it lasts
because it ain't going to last forever.
Now, how do you feel about them counting this winning streak? Because the Lakers, I think, won 33 in a row.
Oh, the wraparound thing?
Not a fan of the wraparound.
I'm not a big fan. And there's all these weird instances in all sorts of different sports where the wraparound can come into effect. Like,
it's going to be super cool. It's a hip-hop like showcase thing. It's going to be really awesome. Yeah, and tickets pre-sale are $3, and at the door they're $5. So, you know, save yourself $2 and buy it from someone who has them. If you want to find out who has them, go. Well, I personally have them. And then they're also on the Facebook page. Just look up United Underground Entertainment, and the event page is the first thing on there. So, yeah, go there, and it'll be super cool. Anyway,
Ha ha ha.
Oh, we up, up, up for the glow show. Yeah, we down, down here on the ground. Yeah, we up, 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 up. Yeah, we up, up, up in the clouds. Yeah, we up. Yeah, we up. Yeah, we up.
Yeah, we up, 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 what I don't do. Well, that's true, that's true, that's true, that's true. Enough on one stage where we all do the same like we're told to. Be the same as, cut back on the things you think you should have. When you're gone, so it won't be all night. It's like, can you take me away now? Well, I can see the old house. What's that? Lovers creeping up the back stairs into the cold room outside. Or I couldn't get your name right. Did we take a wrong turn? Broken down in the dark of the country. The best and the worst of all, you gave them everything that's left. Take in another breath, gaze at the breaking shore. As they say, they're coming back to knock down the concrete wall. To knock down the concrete wall. To knock down the concrete wall. Answer honestly, I'm sorry that it's not quite how you thought it would be. It's always the fucking same, just the same. You and me, come round. Well, I'd really like to see you. We could watch the television, you could cook a pizza. So laugh, you're loud, you shout, you're proud. We'll sit down in the corner, disappear into the background.
So that was Get Closer by Life is a Film. I think that's what it was. But yeah, but remember, you're listening to KCCRadio.com. KCC Radio is coming to you live from Chico State in Chico, California. KCC is the program of the Associate Students. KCCRadio.com. And this song right here is Cool Kid by the Eries.
Oh my God, I'll say whatever. hanging out with my best friend. I wish I was a cool kid. Yeah, wish I was a cool kid.
Destiny.
So that was Past Lives by Borns, and then this song right here is Empty Nesters by Toro y Moi. So it's PSA time. Once again, GSEC is having their first annual lip sync showdown this Wednesday from 5 to 7 in the Old Common Grounds. It's going to be really cool. There's going to be free food. Free food, guys. Go. It's first come, first serve, so make sure you go. It's going to raise money to help fund future GSEC events. And yeah, so go to that. It's going to be super cool. So the song right here is by Air Dubai, and this is their song Warning.
Never learn when to say when. Drink more so we won't have to feel shit. But it all comes back in the AM. Yeah, drunk girl look good. She in Brooklyn now, getting my hood. Out of LA now, with the porn star. In the blue and black Cadillac car. Word, vintage. Drunk text with X and past chicks. All to get past when the drink's endless. All to get back when the highest spaceship. Go, go, go. You a cold girl, right? But how could I blame you?
guess I figured in time the city would change.
She's the belle of the ball, cream of the crop. No wonder you never forgot her. And all the drinks are flowing. Not a good time to fall. The belle of the ball, cream of the crop. Mirrors all over the wall. And now the lights are flashing. All the people dancing. I can't let go. It's never been easy for me. I can't let go. It's never been easy for me. Maybe that's just a warning.
All right, so that was I got stuck, guys. I got stuck.
Why do you go wasting your time on me? You're so beautiful.
There you go. That was the start of something by Voxtrot. Yeah. Anyways, it's weather time. It is currently 53 degrees outside. Nah, it's not too bad. This is what Chico does to you. 53 degrees does not sound that bad. And, yeah. Looks like tonight's going to be 46. And then Tuesday, the high tomorrow is 63. It's supposed to rain Wednesday. It's supposed to start raining more this week. It rained all day yesterday, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to rain Wednesday, Thursday, maybe Friday, and Sunday. Jesus. Okay, that's a lot of rain. All right, anyways, this song is not the song I'm going to play, but the one after it. It's by the Limousines, and it's called Flaska Boozin' Dancing Shoes. Yeah.
Not say names, I'll just be me and you be you. Two perfect strangers being sneaky with a flask of booze. No need to think up any clever pickup lines to use. I got a stack of actors, you just bring your dancing shoes. Dancing shoes, oh, you just bring it.
And that was Philosophize In It, Chemicalize With It by Kishibashi. And yeah, that's it. This is my last show for the semester. And yeah, so I'll see you guys, well, yeah, next semester. Yeah, that's it. All right, bye.
Everybody told her, take whatever you can get.